Welcome to another edition of Doc's Computer Zone. This is going to be episode number 103. Today's topic, science fiction and technology. Welcome again. This is Doc Pearson. This is Doc's Computer Zone. Today we're talking about science fiction and its effect on new inventions, including the new things we've seen and will see in our lifetime. Along that line, we're going to do an interview with Walter Koenig, who played Chekhov on the original Star Trek series.
Guess
Walter is going to tell us about
dinner.
An exciting new Star Trek episode with his character Chekhov, so you're going to want to listen for that. In computer news, we're going to look at new technology trends. And in our DVD review segment today, we're going to review the new release of Star Trek, The Time Travel Collection.
17 seconds and counting. Guidance internal. 15, 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9. We have ignition sequence start.
The following program is brought to you in living color on NBC.
We asked Jacques-Pierre Beaujolais, noted international wine connoisseur and curator for the Tour des Argents en Paris, to compare these classic wines, including this 1959 Chateau Lafite Rothschild, to WAMCO Cellars' new Grapes of Wrath.
I have in my travels tested many wines from around the world, and in all of my testings I have never encountered anything quite like this stuff. It has a good body, as you can see. It has a good nose. It has a fine frivolous and fruity bouquet. I cannot be high enough to recommend this. I cannot highly recommend this.
WAMCO Cellars.
Stuff.
Grapes of Wrath. Aged a full week in particle board barrels.
This is a wine that complements anything from a roasted Cornish game hen nestled in a bed of wild rice to a peanut butter and banana sandwich Algiers.
WAMCO Cellars. Great wines before their time.
Welcome back to Doc's Computer Zone. I appreciate you joining me today. And today I thought about something that would be good to do the show about. And first of all, I would like to thank everybody who is out there in the audience. I see this show continuing to grow and a lot of people tuning in, which is great. I'm getting emails from Alabama, California, and Germany, just to name a few places, that have listened to this show. It is amazing that the iPod radio, you know, the iPod market or the podcast market is so huge and worldwide, and it's really a great way to get your podcast out there through podcasting and letting everybody listen to it from, I mean, all over the planet, really. I didn't know podcasting was so popular until I started to get some of this feedback and some of the emails from people. But today I wanted to talk a little bit about science fiction and technology, and everybody who is in the IT field knows about science fiction and technology. It's been around for a while, and you know, a lot of our great science fiction writers have come up with things long before they're ever invented. And I was doing some research for this episode today, and did you know that Jules Verne, he wrote the book From Earth to the Moon in like the early 1800s, probably around 1870, 1880. And it was pretty astonishing to me when I was looking up some facts. I was originally looking into how Star Trek ties into science fiction and technology, but really it's much bigger than that. All science fiction really does a good job of predicting the future. And just take a listen to this from some of the facts. From Earth to the Moon, the classic book by Jules Verne, again made in the 1800s. In the book From Earth to the Moon, the number of men in the crew would be 3 is what he predicted. The Apollo 11 spacecraft, there was actually a 3-man crew. He predicted back in the 1800s that the launch site would be Florida. The actual launch site for the Apollo 11 spacecraft was Kennedy Space Center in Florida, which is also correct. He said the initial velocity for the spaceship to get, you know, from the Earth to the Moon would be 12,000 yards per second. And he was, the actual yards per second was 10,830 meters per second, which is about 11,848 yards per second. He was only 150 yards off on that, you know, looking way back almost 100 years beforehand. He said the Earth landing site would be the Pacific Ocean, and they did land in the Pacific Ocean, 13 degrees and 19 degrees north latitude and 169 degrees and 9 feet west. So they actually did land in the Pacific Ocean, right between Hawaii and Australia. He was off on the day of the launch. You know, he can't get everything right. He predicted it would launch on December 1st. It actually launched on July 16th, 1969. And he said the capsule would be named Columbiad, and it was named Columbia, which is pretty crazy. And the projectile or the rocket that everybody was riding in, he predicted would be 108 inches in diameter, and it was actually 153 inches in diameter. And he was correct within about 50 inches, which is pretty amazing. And we look around today in today's society, and we see cell phones and everything like that. And it's easy for us, in my generation anyway, to think of people like Gene Roddenberry in the original Star Trek. In just a little bit, I'm going to play a little bit of the interview I did with Walter Koenig, who played the character of Chekhov in the original Star Trek series, and then also he came back and played his character Chekhov in the Star Trek movies. And the one thing we talked about a little bit was, you know, the media, how, you know, it's changed. It used to just be, when I was a kid, you had ABC, NBC, CBS here in America, and then also PBS. So we only had like 3 or 4 channels to choose from. Now we've got, you know, close to 500 channels like they were predicting. But now you get on the internet, and there's really literally thousands or millions of channels, from podcasting to video podcasting to, we had mentioned YouTube, which is spelled YOUTUBE. Sounded like I was saying YouTube a couple weeks ago, but it was YouTube.com is a big place. And there's a lot of great sites out there, which is just some great content on there. And it's a great way for people to get out and get information out there. Again, doing internet research for this episode, I was looking up science fiction and its way to predict future technology. Way back in the 1930s, H.G. Wells said he was saying that the world government or the government should come up with a thing called the world brain. Back in 1937, he wrote a book called The World Brain, and he just said it would be a universal organization of clarification and knowledge and ideas, and he would call it the world brain. And I was thinking about that. I think the internet's as close as we've come right now to the world brain. Pretty much anything at any time can be accessed through the internet. And sites like Google are great. Anything you want to look up, it's pretty much put the old encyclopedia salesman out of business that we used to have when I was a kid. I mean, everything is accessed through the internet now. And there's some great things out there that people can access. The internet's just getting bigger. It's not getting any smaller. And it's just amazing, the things that are out there. And we're going to talk about a little bit with Walter Koenig just how people are using the internet to create their own movies. And he is in a new project right now. I guess he finished filming that up a couple months back, where he came back and played his character of Chekhov in an actual fan film on the internet called New Voyages. We were talking a little bit. You're actually getting involved with a fan-produced Star Trek episode. Is that correct?
Yeah, that was really interesting for me. It was really a rewarding experience. If you would ask me, 6 months before I made this, whether I would ever be involved in Star Trek again, I would have responded with a very definitive no, and feel sure that was the truth as I knew it. These people approached me. I looked at the previous episode they had published. I mean produced, and I thought it was worth discussing a concept for a Star Trek episode that would involve Chekhov. As it turns out, Dorothy Fontana, who was one of the original writers on Star Trek, who wrote the teleplay, I contributed some of the initial concepts. And we had some very good people working on it. We shot it up in Ticonderoga, New York. I was there a week. The folks I worked with were extremely professional and reinforcing, and it turned out to be really a super experience. And it gave me some closure into a character that I felt never really had a chance to express who he was. And this story is a very, very dynamic story, the one that we shot. And certainly in every possible meaning of the word, there is definitely closure for Chekhov on this story. It's now in post-production. They're editing it, they're scoring it, they're adding the CGI. We have an Academy Award-winning professional gentleman who is doing CGI. We had an Oscar-winning makeup man who did the makeup on me. People are coming on board all the time. The composer is an extremely successful composer. People are coming on board all the time because they love, they still have a fondness for Star Trek. They have great memories, particularly of the original series. And they want to contribute to this production. Beyond this production, they're going ahead and going to make another episode when George Takei is going to be the guest performer in that one. So their plans are to continue making these Star Trek episodes. The company is called New Voyages. And they can be found on newvoyages.com on the internet. In fact, they're running a trailer now of the episode that I was in, as well as as running the episodes that they've already made. And they are, you know, they're making quantum leaps in terms of the technology and the production values that they're using in each effort. So I'm very tickled with the whole thing. I look forward to it. I think it's going to be available on the anniversary date, the 40th anniversary date of Star Trek, which would be like September 8th.
I appreciate Walter Koenig joining me today on Doc's Computer Zone, talking about some of the different things out there. One of the more exciting things, like he talked about, is the fan-based films that are out there these days. There's some amazing fan-based films. I was very impressed when I went out and checked out some of the fan-based films. They've got quite a few for Star Wars. There's a lot of them out there, and there's also some really great ones with Star Trek. And the one that impressed me the most of all the fan films I saw was this one that Walter Koenig was involved with, called New Voyages. And if you go to newvoyages.com, you can see some of the different films they put up. They can't make any money off of this because the rights are owned by Paramount, so it's just totally fan-based. They put them together for fun. It's kind of a love of labor, as he said. Doing some reading about the New Voyages people. This guy actually, out in his barn, built an exact replica set of the 1960s Star Trek set. So I guess it's the closest thing out there. And as he said, it is museum quality. And he went by the original blueprints. They've got some Oscar-winning makeup people and also some amazing writers and directors that are just donating their time, just want to see the old Star Trek live. It's funny to see the old uniforms on the characters and everything, and it's really a very interesting sight to check out. So if you get a chance, go to newvoyages.com. As promised, we'll check out some computer news, what's going on in the computer industry. There's a couple things I've been checking out this week. One thing you might want to try if you get a chance is go to Yahoo and download the new beta for Yahoo Go for TV. Yahoo bought a company out, or they've got a free download right now called Yahoo Go for TV, where you can go and download this program, and it will turn your computer into a TiVo type unit. Nice thing about this is you don't have the monthly subscription fees that you run into with TiVo. You do need some sort of TV tuner card though in your PC. It looks a lot like a Windows Media Center PC, except for it has like a purple background, but goes out, has TV listings, all kinds of great things. You can hook output into your television set and watch this on your TV, or also watch it on your computer monitor. It's a really neat new product. It is in beta, so there might be some glitches with it. They say so right when you download it, but it's worth checking out. It's really good. So go out and download Yahoo Go for TV. If you don't have a TV tuner card, go out and pick one out too. Also in the computer news, if you get a chance, check out GUI, and that's spelled GOOWY.com. GUI has launched web chat and storage products to go along with their GUI-based desktop. I've downloaded this product a few months back. It's a really neat product. It gives you, it's all flash-based. GUI is a flash-based, like, personal management system. You can have your calendar, your Outlook contacts. It will do pop email for you. But meaning it's flash-based, it's really a slick-looking. Basically, it's kind of like a desktop-to-go product where you can have kind of personal desktop wherever you're at as long as you have internet access. The accounts are free, and they give you a gigabyte of free storage, a free online storage, which is great. So go check out www.gui.com. And then something else in computer news you probably have heard or maybe you haven't heard yet, but Apple has just recently filed patents for wireless iPods and TVs. So it's going to be interesting to see that Apple is going to go wireless probably on one of the next generations of their iPod, which makes sense. Music purchase is kind of an impulse item, so it would make sense that they would have wireless iPods. Then you can get into chat. You could probably get into, you know, Apple doing their own cell phone service, I guess, if they want to. Motorola's got the Sliver phone with iTunes on it. And I do think that that's going to be another big seller for Apple, so you might want to check that out. And now it's time for movie, our DVD review section. Today we're going to be talking about Star Trek's Time Travel DVD collection.
If we keep this speed, we'll blow up any minute now.
It's time now for our DVD review section today, and today we're going to talk about Star Trek's Time Travel Collection, and I'm enjoying these new collections that Paramount, I guess CBS owns Star Trek now, Viacom, I think, whoever owns them. I appreciate that they're putting out these nice fan collections. The second one they put out, the first one they put out was the Borg Collection, which I haven't had a chance to check out yet, but this new one I picked up is the Star Trek Fan Collective Time Travel Collection. Basically, Chronicles the adventures of the original series, The Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, Voyager. They didn't throw any in there from Star Trek Enterprise, but they did throw some good episodes from the other editions of Star Trek. Probably one of the big ones that they put on there from Next Generations is Yesterday's Enterprise. From the original series, they have The City on the Edge of Forever and Trials and Tribulations from the Deep Space Nine folks and All Good Things, which is from All Good Things is from the original Star Trek The Next Generation too. So these are probably some of the best episodes that they ever put out. There is a four disc collection that includes the original series, Tomorrow is Yesterday, City on the Edge of Forever, Yesterday's Enterprise, Cause and Effect, Time Zero Part 1 and 2, All Good Things, Little Green Men, Trials and Tribulations, and Year of Hell Part 1 and 2. And then the last disc 4, has the last episode from Star Trek Voyager, of course, where Captain Janeway comes back from the future and she beats the crap out of the Borg. So pretty interesting and good DVD collection. Only about, I've caught it on sale for $24. For $24 to $30 is what's going for. It's your local big box store or retailer, so it's well worth picking up for four DVDs and some good stuff to add to your collection. And I think a lot of this is to coincide with the 40th anniversary of Star Trek that is coming up on September 8th. So can't believe it's been 40 years since Star Trek came out. Appreciate you joining me today on another edition of Doc's Computer Zone. We had a lot of fun today. We've got a lot of good stuff planned in the coming weeks, so stay tuned. Thank you for joining us.